Well, good morning. As Beth said, my name is Mike McCoy, and I am your tenant over here at the community center with the vineyard and shelter, and have been the pastor there for a long time, about 19 years since we planted the church over there. We are very grateful for First Press's extending the invitation for us to meet there. It has allowed us to do a lot of great things that God has called us to do in the community, to gather for worship. So we deeply appreciate you. And as Beth also said, my wife, Mary Ann, who wanted to be here has a weekend annually with her sisters, and Kathy and Annalie and Barb, some of you may have known them. The Lowe's family was like a choir unto itself. When I got to meet them, I almost wasn't allowed to marry Mary Ann because I can't carry a tune. So that you know, to our daughters, Beck and Jenny, and then now to our granddaughters, have all been involved in choir. The Lowe's genetic thing for music has been passed on. And so we all love music. And honestly, Mary Ann will often talk about how that came out of her being here at First Press as a young child. High school, and then in college, she was a music major. So we love this congregation. And we were actually married right here, August 10th, 1974. We've been married a little over 42 years. And so it was a great thing. We intended to get married up on Mount Diablo. We got married in 1974, and young folks, and I was, if you can imagine that, I was young then. And you know, we were like, we want to have an outdoor wedding, and we kind of want to be out, have God meet us out in nature. And I remember Marge looked at us and said, Grandma dear, who was Mary Ann's grandma, was in a wheelchair, and she says, so, to have a sunrise service, we're going to push Grandma dear up Mount Diablo through a field. Are you sure that's what you want to do? So we were able to be married here. Had a wonderful time, wonderful reception. We were just looking at some of our pictures the other day, showing them to our grandchildren. So I feel very honored to be here. When Toby asked me to come and preach, since he would be with the leadership of this church, I jumped at the chance, and so I'm very glad to be here. I want to read from the book of Acts, and this passage is actually in the Old Testament, but it caught my attention when Toby asked me, and I started praying about, okay, Lord, what is it that you might want me to share? This is the passage that kept jumping out at me. And quite honestly, I was a bit surprised, because I'm like, what's the context of this? And so this is in Acts chapter 7, and I'm going to start at verse 30. Now, after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to get a closer look, he heard the Lord say, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. And then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt. Familiar with this passage of the one of the greatest characters in the whole of Scripture, Moses. Moses is one of the people, as you may know, that appears to Jesus at the Transfiguration along with Elijah. And one of the things, you know, I love about Moses is to look at his life, because I think the Scripture is filled with his story because God wants us to take some things out of it. So what I'd like to do is just take a look at the story. You're probably familiar with Moses, and even with this story. And what's happened is Moses was raised in Egypt by Pharaoh's daughter. Moses' sister connects Moses as a young baby back to his mother. She's a nurse. She nurses him. So there's still a family connection. But Moses is raised in Pharaoh's court. And as time goes on, God's people are crying out for God to rescue him from oppression. Moses finds out that he's Jewish. He sees, he kills an Egyptian in a fight. Then he sees two Jews fighting. He basically says, brothers, why are you fighting? And then they say, well, are you going to kill us too? So Moses gets a little afraid and runs off into the desert for 40 years. So this is the 40 years. 40 years is a key number, by the way, in Moses' life, isn't it? It's like God doesn't do anything in his life in 10 years. You know, it's like, you're going to be in the wilderness. Hey, that 40-year thing, it's going to be another 40-year thing. But anyway, he's 40 years, and he meets a woman. He marries her. He starts working for her father, tending sheep. You know, again, tending sheep to me sometimes sounds like you got like 12 sheep, but probably he's running a ranch, a sheep ranch. You know, he's obviously gifted, and I think the sheep have multiplied. And so Moses is out with the sheep, and he sees a burning bush, and he goes up to it. Now, one of the things about this story to me that I think caught my attention as I began to reflect on this, because I've preached on this before, taught on it, and I thought, well, you know, I don't do anything new, is I felt like God just reminded me that for Moses, this is the first time God spoke to him. So Moses is somebody who's been living his life for a long time. He has an awareness of God. But in the burning bush, God actually speaks to him. And what I want us to reflect a little bit on is this idea of God speaking. Now, you don't need to raise your hand or anything, but can you reflect on a time, maybe in a Bible study, maybe in a time of prayer, maybe in a time somebody's preaching, maybe as you're reading scripture for yourself, where you really felt God himself speak to you? Have you had that experience? And one of the things I've realized, you know, in reading this is that in the Old Testament, God speaking to people is a bit of an unusual thing. But in the New Testament, and as you know, Acts 7 is Stephen the martyr. This is his preaching as he right before he's about to be stoned. And he's running through for the Jews their history. And he's saying, you know what, the coming of Jesus is all part of God's history. And God's been speaking to us about this. And so with Moses, it's like, okay, God is speaking to Moses something that needs to happen for the redemptive history of God's people. And part of what has to happen is the people have to be set free from Egypt, right? I mean, if the Jews stay in Egypt, we're not here. Now, I'm not saying God couldn't have another plan, because he's God. I mean, I think God would have worked it out. But you hear what I'm saying is part of when in the scripture these stories are retold is to help us that exist in the now remember that what happened back there is actually part of why we're here. It's why I was sharing just a little bit of what this congregation has meant to Marianne and I. Our marriage, having First Pressed a place to get married, having people come that loved us and gave us honestly wonderful gifts. I mean, and to be truthful, as a young, dumb married guy, which I was, we got married. I was 21. So, you know, I was still learning a lot in life, still am. But one of the things, you know, that happened is that that story, this congregation is part of Mary and I's story 42 years later. Okay, and so when we look at Moses, like, okay, this Moses story, and Stephen has seemed to say this is important. Well, I think part of what's in this is the idea that God speaks to us. Is the idea that we are people that are meant to hear the voice of God. And when I say the voice of God, I'm not talking in this audible sort of a thing, you know, like of, hello. I'm not talking a Charlton Heston voice, for those of you that know Charlton Heston, or a James Earl Jones voice, you know, of sounds like God. But what I'm saying is that something in your spirit, something in your soul, you know, oh, this scripture that I've been studying is not just something I'm studying to get knowledge about and reason with, but God's trying to reveal something to me about himself. When God speaks, he's wanting to reveal to us something about his person, who he is, or his purposes for our life. So when you look at the story of Moses, one of the things that's going on there is that God is revealing to Moses who he is. So he says, take off your sandals. You're on holy ground. So for us in the New Testament, because the Holy Spirit is with us, we're always on holy ground at a certain level. I've got some folks over in our church at Vineyard Shelter who, when during worship, they'll always take off their shoes. And it took me a while to figure out, like, dude, why are you barefoot at church? Because we're on sacred ground. Well, as we talked about it, I said, yeah, but so when you get up and have your quiet time, is that sacred ground? Because God's with you there, right? Oh, it is. So he came back and goes, I've been taking off my shoes now when I have my quiet time. But what that is saying is it's something about the person of God. And so in Numbers, and I'll just read this to you, but if you want to look at it, you can. In Numbers 12, 6 through 8, here's what's said. Listen to my words. This is God speaking. Where there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in hidden riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now that passage is the Lord speaking to Moses' siblings. They've kind of risen up against him. But do you notice what God says there? He says, to Moses I spoke face to face. Now this is Moses, and again, we're looking at Moses as a character, and here we are in the New Testament in Acts, and Stephen is trying to say, hey, there's something about Moses that we in the New Covenant need to understand. And part of what this is that with Moses, God spoke to him face to face. To the prophets, he had to do visions, he did dreams, maybe send an angel, but to Moses, he spoke face to face. That's God revealing his person. As people who live under the covenant of Jesus Christ, what Jesus has given us access to is the Father. God will speak to us. Now, I don't know about you. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and then I came into the Vineyard. Is anybody kind of familiar with the Vineyard? The Vineyard started in the 80s, started by a man named John Wimber, and it was him kind of being opened up to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, he was an evangelical, and so he wasn't in kind of the charismatic Pentecostal tribe, but he was just an evangelical that began to realize some things about the Holy Spirit that he needed to learn. And so we've, in the Vineyard, we've learned that. For me, it's one of the things that came along was this idea that God could speak to me. I remember being raised in the Catholic Church when I was young and reading the lives of saints, and I always thought it was so cool that God would show up and talk to him. I remember reading, you know, listening to sermons and Bible stories about how, you know, God spoke to Peter here, or God, you know, the story with Moses and later on with Isaiah and different people. And I thought, that would be so great. But in the church, nobody taught me that I could actually hear God. And so what I came away with, and when I mentioned the Vineyard, because I think in the Vineyard, we unintentionally gave this impression to people that people that can kind of hear God's voice or can kind of read a scripture and go, oh, that's for me, or that's for you. Have you ever been in a Bible study and somebody's reading the kind of, oh, Beth, you know, I think that scripture's really for you. You know, and somebody did that on me, and I kind of like, how do you know that? Where did that come from? And I thought it was like special magic gift. You know, like, well, God loves you so much. Or you've really, really got some skills that I just don't have. You're like Jedi. Right? Now, do you ever get around some Christians and you sort of think that some of their spirituality is like Jedi mind trick? Oh man, you're Jedi, I'm not. You know, I'm just one of those little Wookiees, or not Wookiees, one of those little creatures that just is kind of running around. And so when I'm talking about this, and we hear this passage of God saying that he speaks face to face to Moses, I think one of the things that we want to think about, and I think even that Stephen is implying this in the message and the reason Luke records this, is to say to us in the church, well, why do you think God spoke to Moses? Was Moses better than everybody? Well, it's just God's choice, isn't it? And it's also because God is always doing something in the now that's also pointing to the future. So God is looking at, God is speaking to Moses because he's trying to give to us an example of in the future, once Jesus comes, how God will speak to us. The other thing that God speaks to Moses about, he reveals his person, but then he also reveals to Moses his purpose, and he says, I'm sending you back to Egypt. Now, how do you think that sounded to Moses? Horrible. Time out, God, time out. I'm wanted. I've been on the Most Wanted show. And I don't really think I want to go back. My reputation's not really good. And God says, no, I'm sending you back. And you'll notice what God's purpose for Moses is. It's not for Moses' sake that Moses is going back to Egypt, is it? It's for the sake of God's people. God says, I love this passage. God says, I have heard the groans of my people, and I have come down to set them free. Now that is God saying, I am going to do something, Moses, with you to set my people free. Because, I mean, a great question if I was Moses, I said, well then God, you're here, that's great. You just go and do the God stuff there in Egypt and they'll go free. It's an interesting thing that God almost always, always, always takes along human beings to do his work. He does the heavy lifting, but for some reason he wants us to come along. So abolition happened because men and women met and prayed, first in England and then in America. And they prayed and they prayed and they fasted. And they asked God to come and do something. And God said, well, here, God began to reveal to them, here's what you need to do. And so they started doing their part. And guess what? God freed slaves. And the same thing is going on here where God is saying, I've heard the groans, I've come down. But now, Moses, you and I are going to go do this together. Excuse me just a sec. I'm getting over just a little bit of a cold, so my voice isn't quite right. So God shows Moses himself. He reveals himself, his person. He reveals to Moses his purposes. So for us, if what's going on here in the book of Acts is that God wants us to know that what he's done with Moses is something he's wants to do in our life. How do we wrap our heads around that? How do we begin to live into that? Because what I think is true is that God speaks. We know he spoke in the past. He speaks now, and he'll continue to speak in the future. I think it's interesting, and I think there is a connection with this, that right now for First Press, there's big transition going on. You're coming off of the mountain of a retreat where I think everybody's been praying that God would speak. And so one of the things that God wants for his people is to say, we believe that God speaks today through Scripture. One of the things is I've gotten older and a little bit wiser. My wise graph and my aging graph don't quite match up, but I have gotten older and a little bit wiser. Is what I've realized is what I'd rather have from God is revelation rather than just good ideas or reason. And I know for me as a leader in the church, I've often depended upon what's our good ideas. And so I've done a lot of things that businesses do and whatnot, where you sit down and you just begin to, you know, let's get all of our good ideas on the paper. Now, I think that's important. I think brainstorming is part of revelation. But at a certain point, we have to shift through everything and say, okay, God, what are you saying? And it could be through a scripture. It could happen by just doing a Bible study. It can happen in all kinds of ways. But the idea is that I think God is wanting to say to us through this passage in Acts, and what he was saying to the early church is, I speak now to my church the way I spoke to Moses. I speak to the body of Jesus Christ the way I spoke to Moses. And it's interesting when you read in the Gospels about Jesus, how he understood his relationship with the Father. He says things like, I only say what the Father says to me. I only do what the Father is doing. What Jesus knows is that he has a relationship, and he just assumes that as God's son, God will show him things. But here's where this gets to be important, I think, for us, and where I want to bring this to a little bit of practicality, is that for us to hear God, something has to happen inside of us, and that is that we need to understand that our Heavenly Father has said to us, you are my beloved child. That in this room right now are the beloved daughters and the beloved sons of God because of what Jesus Christ did upon the cross. And the reason God speaks to you and speaks to me and speaks to us is because we are his beloved, not because we're super spiritual. Now, there's some super spiritual people in this room, but if you're anything like my congregation, there's some medium spiritual people. And there's some people just kind of getting up to speed about what it means to follow Jesus and all that. And maybe, and hopefully there's some in here you're going, I'm not even sure if I want to follow Jesus. None of that means that God won't speak to you. Now, what it may mean is how you hear the voice. So if you think of parent to child, or as a grandparent now, I like to often think of grandparent to child, as I remember with my granddaughters and my grandson, when they were really little, I would speak to them, and I kind of got the sense they didn't hear me. You know, like, don't come in the house with those muddy shoes. Grandma just cleaned the floor. And it just seemed like it went right through them, you know. It's like they didn't hear that. Now, when I spoke to them, though, I was speaking to them out of love. When I would say, hey, come to dinner, I'm speaking to them out of love. I'm not speaking to them because they have a certain maturity of language. You see what I'm saying? And often when we think about God speaking to us, I think we sort of can say things like to our Bible study leader, well, but you've been studying the Bible for a long time, so you really hear God. But I don't hear God. That's hard for me. Well, yeah, it is hard because it's like for a two-year-old to hear and articulate and understand language, a two-year-old's maturity around language is not the same as a 20-year-old's or a 40-year-old's. But as a parent, it doesn't change that I want to speak to them, or as a grandparent. God wants his children to hear him and to know him and to know his purposes for their life. I think it's interesting as we reflect on Moses, and I kind of set this up in the beginning. In my church, they love to tease me because I would have been a lawyer probably if I wasn't a pastor. So I like to kind of, in preaching, set a few things up. How many times had Moses heard God's voice when he spoke to him in a burning bush? First time. So Moses had no spiritual skills at hearing the voice of God. In fact, he has a very appropriate response to the burning bush, is he's afraid. But the thing is with the burning bush is the kind of bush that it was are bushes that do catch on fire in the desert in the Middle East, but then they just burn out. The thing that caught Moses' attention is it kept burning. And it says he just went up to check it out. And so in our lives, God wants to speak to us. Now, we're all different. I don't know about you with your children and grandchildren, but you probably have to speak to them in a different language. You know, I have a couple of my granddaughters that are very, very feeling oriented. And I'm a thinker kind of a person. I'm not especially in tune with my feelings. So I've had to learn to use feeling language with them. So I don't kind of challenge them about what were your problems today? Let me fix them. You know, cause that's my male grandpa fatherly thing. But I will say, how'd you feel about your day? What was the best part of your day? Well, they'll just start jabbering away. You know, but if I ask them, what was the big challenge of your day? That's different. But one of my other granddaughters loves to be asked about challenge. And she just says, yeah, Grandpa, I ran into this. What do you think I should have done? Do you think I did that right? You hear what I'm saying? And so we learn to communicate. Well, God's like that with us. So God may speak to Daryl one way and me one way and Beth one way and you another way. And that's all great. Because what the Father's heart is to communicate with his children. And because of Jesus, that's what we can do. And so I want to encourage all of us in this room, but to encourage First Press, to expect God to speak. To expect God to speak to you because he loves you. And so, you know, there's many of us, you know, First Press is part of Church Without Shoes, and we're now, Toby's kind of getting a feel for everything. He's gonna be joining up with us a little bit, come to some of our meetings and doing things. But for those of us churches in the valley, we love First Press. And so one of the things that we pray for all the churches in the valley is just to simply hear God's voice. And then like Moses, if you have to go back to Egypt, go back to Egypt. Do what it is that God is asking you to do. But I just felt the word of encouragement is that as God's beloved, God speaks to us. And because we're beloved, that's why he speaks. And so I'd like to just say a little prayer over us that God would give that revelation that we are God's beloved. This is something, God's been doing this in my life for the last 3 years or so, well, maybe more than that, I guess, 8 years, of just reminding me that I'm his beloved. To the point where I meditate over that scripture, it's in the Gospels 3 times, where when Jesus is baptized, the heavens open up and the Father says, you are my beloved Son, with you I'm well pleased. Because one of the things that somebody that was mentoring me said, now you know, Mike, that because you're in Christ, that's what the Father says over you. Not do you believe it as a truth, but do you live into it as true of who you are? And it's opened things up to me to know I just expect God. So what I think that might mean is you expect a burning bush every once in a while. You expect a scripture to just kind of explode and God just basically saying, this scripture is for you and your family and your church and your city. And it may even be that in a moment of prayer, God just speaks to you. You just get a sense of this is what the Father is saying. So can I pray over you? Would that be okay? And then we'll move on here. Father, and let me ask you to do something. We do this in the Vineyard. It's just a posture of receiving, to maybe extend your hand to receive God's blessing. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you speak today, that just as you spoke to Moses thousands of years ago, you still are a God that wants to speak to us. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you would open our hearts and our minds to the reality, to the revelation that you want to speak to us as your people, that we are your beloved daughters, Lord, that each sister here, each woman here is your beloved daughter that you want to speak to, you want to reveal to them yourself, and you want to show the purposes you have for their life, even purposes that go back 40 years or even 80 years, Lord. Like in the life of Moses, you have not given up on those purposes. And so, Lord, I pray you'd reveal those again, that you would speak to what they look like in today's context for them and even into the future. Lord, I pray for the men in this room that we are your beloved sons and that, Lord, we would expect you to speak to us through your scripture, through the church, through those around us in the body, and that we would expect you to speak to us just personally by your Holy Spirit. Jesus, as you said, we do not live on bread alone, but we live on every word that comes from the Father. That's where we want to draw our life, for ourselves, for our families, for your church, for our city. We want to draw life from your word to us. So, Father, speak and open our hearts to the reality that you speak to us because we are your beloved. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you.